Hi, everyone. I'm M. Sharon Baker, and welcome to our weekly Freelance Writers Den meeting. The Den is the learning and support community for writers looking to grow their earnings fast. Today's Den meeting is about freelance writing success and features four Den members and how they achieved success leveraging what they've learned in the Den. We'll be talking to Gwen Boyle of Cork, Ireland, Christy Valentini, of Detroit, Michigan, Bree Brower of Arizona, and Jessica Lee Brown from Small Town, Tennessee. After each interview, we'll spend just a few minutes taking questions from listeners, which you can leave in the Q&A chat window. First up is Gwen. Gwen Boyle is a freelance writer from Cork, Ireland. She deserted academia for freelance writing just earlier this year and never looked back. Discover resources for inventing your own job at Versatile Creatures, her blog dedicated to alternative and creative ways of making a living. Gwen, thanks for joining us. I know it's late there, 8 o'clock in the evening, correct?
Hi, Sharon. Yeah, it's just 8 o'clock now.
Great.
Not too late.
Yeah, I'm glad we're not talking to you at midnight.
That's it.
Interesting. Hey, so start off by telling us about your freelance journey prior to joining the Den.
Yeah, so I'm a fairly new freelance writer. I just started freelancing about 6 months ago, and I kind of drifted into it almost by accident. I started off on platforms like Odesk and Elance and so on, and I quickly realized that this wasn't brilliant and not a great way to make much money, so I wasn't really sure what to do. And I came across then various freelance writing blogs, and one of them is Carol Tice's Make a Living Writing. And from there, I kind of it really opened my eyes to how to actually go about finding freelance clients. Because up until then, I really didn't have any idea. I just thought, well, go and look for jobs on these bid sites, or, you know, you look for postings online and so on. And I wasn't really sure how to go about approaching people. But from then on, I learned a lot from Carol's blog and from various other blogs. I ended up joining the Freelance Writers Den a couple of months ago. And I learned an awful lot then. I started properly marketing myself, because I hadn't really thought of what I was doing as a business almost. You know, it kind of occurred to me then that I was running a business and I had to approach it like that. And so I started marketing. I started sending out letters of introduction, sending out pitches properly and so on. Because before then I had really just been kind of casting around at random, trying to find things. So now I'm 6 months into it. Things are slowly picking up. But I have a much better idea of how to go about actually getting clients, and so I'm getting a lot more confident with it now and picking up work, which I actually want to do. Which will actually pay as well. So yeah, so things have changed a lot in the last 6 months.
Are you still working full time, or were you working full time when you first started?
No, I'm not working full time. I work part time, and I was when I started as well. I do a bit of teaching. I'm also a musician, so I have occasional gigs as well. So I have a couple of other things going on, but my aim is eventually to freelance full time, to make a full time income out of it. So currently I have a couple of other things going on, but that's the aim.
So what are you teaching?
At the moment I've done different types of teaching. I taught in college. I would have taught first year college students English. And at the moment I do some teaching for an organization called the Center for Talented Youth, which teaches gifted children and teenagers. So I do occasional teaching for them, which is very nice, and I enjoy it. But it is very occasional and sporadic. So freelancing for me is a way to kind of create something that's more steady, that I have more control over, and, you know, if the part-time work ever drops off, that I can make a living out of it full-time.
Sure. Yeah. Now, obviously, kind of when you joined the Den, it sounds like you were really interested in learning how to make this a business, so I won't ask you that question, but I know your success came in part from taking the step-by-step boot camp. Did you take that live, or did you listen to that later?
I listened back to it, and I used the transcripts and the, I suppose, their worksheets almost, but where they're, you know, you have the exercises at the end of the of each step of the boot camp. So I followed those, and especially with the first two parts of the boot camp, which were kind of identifying the low hanging fruit, which, you know, would be the kind of obvious first possible clients. And then I did the exercises to do with marketing and sending out LOIs and so on. I found that really helpful.
Sure. So just kind of, since everyone probably has not read your post in the Den, can you kind of tell us, you know, why and what you did to get in contact with your old employer, which you identified as your low-hanging fruit? tell us what you did and kind of what the results were.
Yeah. So the old employer that you're talking about there was actually my university, where I was a student and I also taught for 2 years. But funnily enough, I hadn't really thought of approaching them before I went and did the exercises in the boot camp, because I finished up in university in December, and I just kind of went, well, that part of my life is over now, and I'm off doing this freelancing thing, and, you know, I kind of didn't connect the two. But then I did the exercises, and I went through my list and went, right, well, I have all this experience in academia, and I kind of wrote down, you know, university marketing office, alumni office. I didn't think very much about it at the time. And then when I was going back over my list of people to contact, I just went, well, why not? I haven't actually contacted them yet. So I looked up the alumni office. They have a magazine, which I used to, which was sent to me every year. So I don't know why I didn't think of that before. And had a look through their magazine. Turned out that they used freelancers. It even said so at the start of the magazine. So I got in contact with the editor, and she's also the head of the marketing and communications department in the university. So I got in touch with her. I sent her a letter of introduction explaining that I was a former student, also a former teacher at the university, that I was now a freelance writer. Was she taking on any freelance pitches for the alumni magazine, for instance? I left it fairly open-ended. And she contacted me then to say that she would like to meet up with me. So we met up and had a very nice conversation. And the upshot of it was that she was interested in working with me on the magazine. So I'll be writing a feature article for the alumni magazine. And also she's very interested in working with me on developing more digital content and web content for the university, which is something that she kind of felt was a bit lacking at the moment and that they needed a bit of help with. So that was great. It was a successful meeting, and kind of very early on in my in sending out all these letters of introduction and so on. So it was really positive. So basically I haven't completed the work for them yet. This is all upcoming. It'll be kind of starting in September when they kick off with sorting out their magazine and so on. But so that was it, really. So they were both my old employer and my old school,
sure.
Essentially. And I didn't really seriously consider it before doing the step-by-step boot camp. And then I went, well, wait a minute, I have all this experience in this particular place. I know all about this place, so why not, you know?
Right. So tell us a little bit more. This was one of your first letters of introduction,
mm-hmm.
I understand. And you mentioned that you put you were a student and a teacher at that university. What else did you put in that initial letter?
I mainly emphasized kind of how well I knew the university. I've been there, like I did a degree, and then I went on to postgraduate study there. So I kind of emphasized how well I knew the university. Also that I had previously done some PR and communications on a voluntary basis for student societies. And those societies will be well known to the marketing office, obviously, because they're within the university as well. So I emphasized the fact that I knew the place well, I knew the culture and the environment. I was a former student there. I had had relevant experience, and relevant experience that was actually within the college, even though it was voluntary. And that seemed to be enough, really. She seemed to be quite happy with that.
Right.
And I talked to when I actually met up with her then, I discussed a couple of articles that I'd written. I'd written an article on postgraduate supervision, which she was quite interested in because that would obviously be related to university topics. And I'd done a bit of work for an educational technology company as well. So when I met up with her then, I talked about my experience writing about education and writing for educational publications and companies. And she was very interested in that and kind of the web content side of things as well, because I'd done a little bit of that.
Did you include any pitches of any particular profiles or anything for the, or just basically straight, here's what my experience is and I know the institution well?
Yeah, I didn't include any pictures. When I contacted her, I did specifically mention the alumni magazine. I said, I basically said how much I enjoyed a recent article and so on, because I get the alumni magazine. But I didn't specifically pitch anything. I just asked if she was currently using freelancers for the magazine, or if she ever used freelancers for the marketing office in general. And
sure.
Then I went into my experience and so on. So I didn't specifically pitch anything. And when I met up with her, it turned out that she assigns articles anyway, rather than accepting pitches. So that worked out well.
Super. Now, we do have a question here from
Sarah,
who actually went and looked at your website.
Mm-hmm.
And wants to know how you came up with this wonderful mini mission statement. I love to write about audacious ideas and surprising developments in the field of education, social justice, and the environment.
Okay. Well, I came up with that when I was trying to find a way to describe the common thread in things that I like to write about, because I'm one of those people that like to write about a lot of different things. From what I was kind of able to put in my portfolio, I had, say, an article about food sustainability, I have an article about education, postgraduate supervision, working with a social enterprise, which is the educational technology company. And I have kind of very diverse interests, but the common theme that I could kind of pick out was that I love to write about new things. I love to write about new ideas, exciting ideas, things that people haven't thought of before. So I tried to put all that together into one statement. So I hope that's come across relatively well. I'm one of those people that it finds it very hard to choose just one thing.
Obviously you did a great job with that.
Thank you.
Thank you, and if we have more time at the end, and we'll have more questions for you. That was really the only one that was in the chat. We're going to thank you for your time, and we're
thank
now.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having
welcome.
Me.
Thanks. We're going to welcome Christy. Christy Valentini is a Detroit-based travel and parenting writer. Her travel pieces have been published by Go Escape, which is a USA Today travel magazine, Midwest Living, Parenting, AAA, Journey, and Holiday Inn. Her parenting writing has appeared in Back to School, another USA Today publication. Sorry, The Bump, Mom, and Me, and numerous blogs. Christy just returned from Japan, where she was chasing down Zen moments and trying to outbow the locals. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't muted.
Sure. So first, you better tell us, did you outbow the locals?
I couldn't. I was telling my husband, I'm like, I don't know how many times I'm supposed to bow back. He's like, I think you're supposed to let them have the last bow. So that's what I went with.
Great. So why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about your freelance journey prior to joining the Den?
Well, it kind of was a little spotty, I guess I would say. So I started doing a little bit of freelance work in my early 20s in between jobs. So I started doing some restaurant reviews when the it's called the Orange County Register. It's Orange County, California's daily newspaper, when they were just going online and needed to build up their content. And then I also did like front of book pieces for their magazine, which is Orange Coast Magazine, the county's glossy magazine. And then I got a job in PR and marketing communications, and I let that all fall by the wayside. So it had been, I don't know, 10 years or more since I had done any freelance writing. So I decided to start a mommy blog when I became a mom, and just for basically trying to write again and build up clips, because all of my clips were ancient, and I really, looking back, didn't, you know, whenever I reread my pieces, a lot of times I don't like them. So I wasn't too proud to show them in my portfolio, so I wanted to build up fresh new clips and where I was at that stage of my life. So I started a blog, and I started, you know, researching how to promote that. I got together with some other mommy bloggers, and we approached a mom website. It's an online magazine called momtastic.com, and we approached them with a proposal to write a blog for them, and there was four of us, and that we would take turns writing a post every day. So they accepted that, and we started to build up clips on there. And then I sent a query to Parents Magazine one day, and within 24 hours, they responded that they were interested and they wanted more information, and there was a lot of back and forth, and eventually they just decided not to use the story, but it gave me the encouragement I needed to kind of start going after some heavier hitters and really move forward with querying other magazines. I took a parenting writing class. I joined a website called MediaBistro.com. Primarily, I use that for their how to pitch guidelines for magazines, but I took a parenting writing class through them and also a travel writing class through them. And I was mostly just doing, at that point, online gigs that would be like $50 about $50 per post. And I did a 4-month stint as the editor of, it's called getmilkshake.com, and it was the kids section of the website. So it was a e-newsletter that went out twice or three times a week and different stories regarding children and charitable causes. So that gave me some good experience, valuable experience too. But I was doing primarily small online jobs and my own blog.
And was that, were you working full-time or part-time?
I do. I have continued to work full-time, yeah. So I have a marketing communications position, and I work full-time. And then this is my moonlighting job. So I work on freelance writing on my lunch breaks and in the evenings. And if I get an assignment, then sometimes on weekends too.
Sure. So how did you learn about the Den?
I learned about the Den through a friend that I met in my parenting writing class. We were kind of the two most ambitious people that would, pepper the teacher with questions the most and really just wanted to make some good money writing. And so we stayed connected afterwards, and she went on to launch a full-time freelance writing career. and we still keep in touch, but she had led me to Linda Formicelli's website as a resource that she found really helpful, and then, of course, that led me to The Den.
Sure. And then what really made you want to join The Den, and kind of what were you looking to do or learn from The Den?
I think I really liked the thought of, A, getting more support with any questions I had, and I had already found that having a writer friend was really useful in bouncing ideas off each other, and we would send each other queries to review, talk about ideas, what do you think about this and that, and I found that really helpful. So to join a community like that was attractive. And then I love the aspect that you can get query critiques and LOI critiques. Those are probably the two things that I've used the most. And also looking for editor contacts and that sort of thing in the community. But
sure.
I found that there was a lot more information on there that I could benefit from. Those were just the things that I went into it knowing that I would want. And I joined just last May on Mother's Day.
Oh, great. So I know that your success has come from listening into the call with the editor of AAA. So what made you decide to listen to the call, or did you listen to it after, the recording, and then kind of tell everyone kind of the success you had and what you did and then the success you had?
Yeah, well, first, before the phone call, I had actually, like you can hear my background, been working a lot with parenting-type markets. And one night I was going to send a pitch about parenting, kind of like couples getaways for parents for Valentine's Day, and I was going to send it to Momtastic, which didn't pay very well. And I think I had been drinking some wine, and I'm like, what the heck? I'll just send it to the editor of Parenting Magazine, because why not? It couldn't hurt, and I could potentially make a lot more money. And I did that, and I got a response the next day that they wanted the story. And so that's what kind of started leading me down this road of writing travel, because I've found that I've been most successful, and that seems to be where the market is really picking up my pieces, is in travel. And I've been successful with some parenting stuff too, but that's what led me there. And then when I was really excited to listen to the phone call, because AAA Journey's emphasis on travel. And Michelle, on that phone call, she had said they were looking for Midwest content, and I am in Detroit, and then also content on Asia and Latin America. So I was also in the process of planning my 10-year wedding anniversary big trip somewhere, and I knew we were either going to go to Japan or Costa Rica, so I wanted to leverage that too. So I sent her a letter of introduction after the phone call, and talked about how I had heard her in the phone call and that she was looking for these things, and that I was a Detroit-based writer, and just played up that I moved to Detroit 9 years ago from California, and that I bragged to friends that it's an undiscovered gem, and then I put in some bullet points with a few ideas, like story ideas for the magazine. And she responded, and she liked them, and she chose one and asked me to write it up for a front of book, and it was almost entirely written anyway at the point when I pitched it to her, because it was just a short front of book piece, and so that's how that happened.
And so from listening to the call to actually getting the assignment, was it just like a week, less than a week? What?
I don't remember what my time frame was in sending the pitch to her. I know that I wanted to send her the LOI, pretty quickly, because I figured other people would be too, and I wanted to capitalize on her mentioning that she was looking for more Midwest coverage. So I don't know. I probably sent it out within a week or two to her, and then pretty quickly after that, we went back. Actually, no, I think there was a little bit of a lapse, and I think I had to send her a follow-up email. And she was like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, whatever she was caught up in or on vacation or whatever. And she sent me this super long email back detailing kind of their different sections and what they'd be looking for, and a link to take a look at their magazine and all that. And so then I developed a still bulleted kind of pitches, but a little bit more fleshed out, like one paragraph each, and sent her back kind of more fleshed out ideas. And then she picked up the one I did on bacon bars in the Midwest, or in Chicago. Oh.
Cool.
And so, and then she was really great to work with, and I actually just talked to her recently, and I think that she's going to send me another assignment. She said she would assign it in February or March, doing a piece on Mackinac Island, which is in Michigan, and their kind of fudge-making history. And what I found in going into the travel market, if anyone's interested, is that a lot of them do plan their travel pieces, travel coverage, a year in advance. So they usually, like, I've also written for Midwest Living and Go Escape, USA Today publication. They all ask for ideas kind of in August, September, right about now for the following year, and they plan it all out. So it's really important, I think, in that market to be super proactive and thinking far ahead. Because it feels like if you miss your chance, you miss out on that publication for an entire year.
Right, yeah. I found that recently with Alaska Airlines, which I do a little work for. They just sent out their call for interesting ideas for the next year and kind of outlining what sections they're going to be, you know, looking for the most ideas to put in.
Right. Yeah, and I think it seems like they might have a little more flexibility with front of book pieces to do those. They're a little more flexible with their time frame on those, but it seems like anything bigger than that, and they want to just plan it out for the year.
Sure.
Especially, well, I think when they're looking at covering different regions, they want to make sure they've got a good mix for the year.
Right, yeah. So you also received an assignment from Go Escape, which is a USA Today premium publication. So tell us a little bit about how you landed that gig.
You know what? That was serendipitous. I'm like, thank you, God, because I was on Twitter, or I am on Twitter, but not hardly at all. Like, I hardly use Twitter at all. I just, I can't keep up with it, and it's way overwhelming to me. And I only use Facebook for my personal connections. So really the only place as a writer that I am is my writer website and LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. But on Twitter, randomly, I saw an editor from USA Today started following me. And as soon as I saw that, I followed her back and I sent her a tweet after looking at their website that asking her if she knew who the assigning editor was for three publications. They do Go Escape, and then they have Modern Woman, which is their women's glossy, and then the other one I was interested in was a parenting glossy that they also published. And she tweeted back, I'm the assigning editor for all three. And I was like, whoa, score, thank you. And she said, in fact, right now I need travel story ideas for the next. They publish Go Escape twice a year. I don't know how often they do Modern Woman, and the parenting one, it seemed like they only published once a year. So, so we took it off, you know, off of Twitter and via email, and she sent their submission guidelines, what she was looking for. And I sent her back, you know, my ideas. Again, I feel like in those situations when they're looking for an entire, like looking at booking out an entire year, I just send them like one paragraph pitch ideas that I'm willing to flesh out further if they want, versus if I pitch a magazine just on one idea, I do the full, longer, fleshed out pitch that Linda and Carol have, you know, guided DEN members to do. That's what I do if I'm just pitching one story. But when they're looking for a year's worth, I would do just a whole bunch of different story ideas with one paragraph of information, maybe one source quoted, and then wait to hear back.
Sure.
And so I did that, and they assigned me a piece. It was a piece that I had developed in the travel writing class I took through Media Bistro. and it was called More Than Motor City, and it capitalized on the fact that last year is when Detroit declared bankruptcy, and it's the biggest municipality to ever declare bankruptcy, and that I had a lot of friends and people that would make comments, and I'm like, I'm really not affected by it because I live in the suburbs, and there's a lot of affluent communities, but when people think Detroit, they think of the downtown city that's been kind of ravaged financially. So I wanted to do a pitch that was based on the contrast and how there are some more affluent and communities around here that are fun to visit and have historical downtowns and a lot of fun stuff going on. And so, and I actually, it wasn't the first time I had pitched that. I had pitched it to another publication. I'd actually pitched it, I think, to USA Today newspaper and never heard back for their travel section. But that's the one that she ended up picking up. Oh, and it ended up being cool. Like, I think, 3 or 4 page spread. And they even used multiple pictures that I took as well.
Great. So we have just a couple questions. And so I guess the first one is from Stacy. Is your plan to become a full-time freelancer?
Yes. Yes. I need to build up some consistency. And I actually just posted in the Den about this week. And Carol gave me some really great tips. But the problem is that with the magazines, with these consumer magazines, it's difficult because you're constantly chasing after them. And I feel like I'm just now starting to build up some good editor relationships. So my Go Escape editor, she was the assigning editor for those two other magazines. I also did pieces for those two other magazines. And then my Midwest Living editor just sent me another assignment that I hadn't asked for, that, you know, they just wanted me to go scout out and write about this thing. And then I had sent a LOI to Pregnancy and Newborn magazine a while back through another buddy that I met up with through The Den, whose focus is on parenting content as well. And we kind of became accountability partners and swapped editor information, magazine information. Anyways, through her contact, because she was writing for Pregnancy and Newborn, I sent an LOI, and that was probably a year ago. And they had sent me a request to do an assignment a couple months ago, and something was going on. I probably was leaving for Japan, and I also had two assignments to get done before then, so I said no. They just sent me another assignment request, an idea that was generated in-house, and I'm working on that. So I feel like I'm just now starting to build up some good momentum with relationships with a few of these editors, but it's so inconsistent. So I told Carol, like, all her suggestions that she gave me in the Den, I printed it out, and I'm using it as a checklist and trying to figure out a way that I can somehow turn it into a more consistent thing and be able to feel more secure about going full-time freelance.
Sure. Great. So thanks for joining us. We're kind of full today, right, because we have 4 people that we need to squash into an hour. So if you'd like to stick around, great. We might have some additional questions for you closer to the end, but thank you for sharing your success.
Sure. And can I just, one other tip I wanted to give is that those accountability buddies that I mentioned or people that write in the same markets that you do, I think are great. It's one of the most valuable things I've gotten out of whether I've taken a class or through the Den. I also teamed up with someone else who writes travel content, and she has come to find out is an amazing editor. I've sent her my pieces before I sent them into the magazine, and she's helped me cut down my words. And so I just think that that's a huge value of the networking with other writers.
Great. Yeah, I think that it's a great tip. So if you're just joining us, yes, thanks, Christy. So if you're just joining us late, this podcast is brought to you by the Freelance Writers Den. Den members enjoy a wealth of benefits, including access to the junk-free job board, free writer website reviews, weekly live events, support forums, and access to all Carol Tice's past e-courses, and live event recordings, including the recording of this event today, as well as her 4-week boot camps, which are $197 to non-members. Our next guest is Bree Brower. Am I saying that right, Bree?
Yes, very good job.
is a freelance blogger, writer, and journalist who loves writing about digital, new, social media, tech, and business culture, and anything geeky. She's the founder of the upcoming blog Geek and Prosper, where you can learn to become an online business superhero. Welcome.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your freelance journey prior to joining the Den.
You know, to be honest, I didn't really do freelancing before the Den. I was an online English teacher for an academy, and things just didn't work out, and I quit on the spot. It was that bad one day, so I just quit on the spot, and I was like, screw it, I'm going to go do freelance writing. So that's kind of how it all started out. I'd been writing before that. I'd written like pieces off and on for magazines, and I'd been my college's newspaper editor for 3 years, but I hadn't really looked into freelancing before that whole shebang went downhill. So.
And then how did you learn about the Den?
I learned about the Den, actually, from a friend of mine I met at Oxford University. We were both in the same study abroad program, and I had kept in contact with her afterwards because we just hit it off. And I told her, you know, that year where things started to go pretty bad with my job, I was just like, there's nothing good to do here. And I was like, I'd love to do something different. And she's like, well, I started, you know, looking into copywriting, like, the last few years, and I'm starting to make a living from it. And, you know, she would keep saying things like, well, Carol says this, or Carol says this, and I was finally like, who's the Carol woman you keep talking about? So she told me about the Den, and that's how I found out. So
great. So you have some recent success, basically, from, was it, did you take the boot camp, or did you re-listen to a boot camp?
Technically, I retook it. The first time I kind of just skimmed through stuff and picked through it to see what it was about. But this time I actually sat down and listened to everything and went through everything.
And so kind of tell us what you learned from the boot camp and then what you did afterwards to achieve some success.
Sure. I took the boot camp because we had just moved from Iowa to Arizona, and I had told my previous clients, like, I'm moving, and they knew that, and they were fine with that. But I decided moving to Arizona was going to be a little bit more expensive, even though my husband had just gotten a really good job that paid more money. But, you know, I wanted to be like, all right, well, if we're moving somewhere bigger, I'm going to try to get a bigger income. So I took the boot camp and realized that one of the key thing was not necessarily to go searching for new clients, like definitely keep marketing myself, but one of the easiest ways to up your income was to talk to people you already knew, which was either your clients or just your acquaintances, people in your contact and address books. So that's what I did. And many of them did not have extra work for me. And one of them actually, after I asked for a raise, said no, so that was interesting. But basically what I learned was I need to start looking for opportunities that I already have connections with but just aren't there yet. So you know, filling a void. And so I looked at my current client list, and I was writing some news pieces about digital media for a trade magazine. And the editor has been sending me like one, you know, news piece per month saying, hey, can you cover this? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I started getting really interested in the online video and a lot more of the digital media industries. And I looked, and she had her magazine had a column that hadn't been updated since 2012. So I was like, wait a minute, what? So I read through all of them, and I was like, oh, I can write about this. I know this stuff. So I pitched her the idea, and I said, hey, so I noticed your guy's not writing this anymore, but I know a lot about this stuff. Can I pick up the column from you? And it was just good timing because she wrote me back, and she literally was like, I've been looking for someone for a year to pick up this column, and I couldn't find anyone interested enough. So she's like, yes. Definitely, please take it off my hands.
And so did you end up writing a kind of a multi-column contract with her, or kind of tell us how you proceeded from there?
Yeah, I asked her how columns tended to work with her, and they had a flat rate for columns, but it was really good flat rate. Like, I get paid $270 for, like, one, you know, 750-word piece per month, which isn't necessarily as good as, you know, the glossy magazines might pay, but for a trade and for a topic I already know a lot about, it's really easy to do. So it's really easy money, which was, I was just so stoked. I was like, oh, I like this. I like this price. And she just said, yeah, we normally just, I set deadlines every month, and I fill out, I'd like to give you a contract through the end of the year. And then what we'll do is we'll renegotiate the next year. And I was like, okay. So she set dates for me every month since, I believe I've been doing it since like April.
Great. And has that kind of helped you land additional work, or did you land any other work kind of going back through your previous contact list?
Sort of. The other thing I learned about from going through contacts was just the whole idea of connecting with people and networking. I decided to start emailing online video magazines and websites that I, you know, that I had always been interested in writing for, but for some reason just had never bit the bullet and done it. So I did email a couple of people, heard back from a few, and they said, well, we're not paying, but we wouldn't mind if you could write something. And I actually did do a couple free pieces because I hadn't any online video clips. So I was like, all right, I'm going to build up my portfolio with this. And what happened after that was a couple of those free pieces plus this column plus going to VidCon actually in Anaheim, which is all about YouTube and online video stuff, I met one of the editors I'd written for last year, and he and I are actually just this week in talks about basically me writing for them almost full time. Because there's so much going on in this industry right now, he's like, I need someone to write for me so badly. So I was like, all right. So, yeah, it was interesting because the great Get Great Clients Bootcamp, you know, that section about talking to people you already know was the jumping off point for me being like, okay, so a lot of this has to do with just connecting with people and being memorable and not being a jerk and being really good at what you do.
So tell us, I know we don't have a lot of time, but tell us a little bit about your decision to actually go to the conference. And had you kind of done that before on an annual basis, or was that something new that you did?
No, that was brand new. I was thinking of going to it for a while just for personal interest, and then I realized, well, if I do want to be writing about online video, I may as well just go there for business purposes. So I asked my editor for my column. I said, I'd love to go to VidCon. You don't have to pay for it because I'm in Arizona. I can just, you know, use like column money from it. And as long as you basically give me a press pass, then I'd love to go cover it. And she said, okay, yeah, just apply as press for me. So I went and covered it, and I'm definitely going to keep going, you know, year after year now. It's I wouldn't say it's a conference for everyone, but it's definitely the place to go to if I'm going to be staying within the online video industry. So.
And so you ended up not having to pay the regular conference fee then, is going
and that's very good because actually VidCon is notorious for being one of the more expensive conferences out there. It's like $500. So I didn't have to pay that, which was great. And since I'm in Arizona, I just rented a car, which was relatively cheap, and drove it. And I stayed with a friend, so it was actually extra cheap. So,
right, yeah. Oh, yeah. Smart way to do that. Well, congratulations on your success. And I know that it sounds like you're going to be having much more when you follow up with your editor who wants you to write practically full time. Remember to get a nice contract.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Actually, it's funny. That part of why we've been talking this week is because he was about ready to send me one, and then he realized it was all written with California laws in mind instead of Arizona. So he has to rewrite it entirely.
And also remember, too, that you can negotiate on any point in there that you want. I know a lot of people think that once you get a contract from somebody, you can't change anything. But if there's something in there you don't like, you can negotiate. So I'll give you that tip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. People should remember that, because part of my thing is I try to work on the same schedule my husband does. And since he gets assigned different shifts every once in a while, I told this editor that. And I said, look, like right now I can write my time, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., but it might be later. It might change. And he's like, oh, okay, well, if it does, just let me know. And I was like, okay. So, yeah, definitely talk about anything you might want to negotiate.
Sure. Well, thanks, Bree. And congratulations on your success.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next guest is Jessica Lee Brown. She's a freelance writer and part-time high school English teacher. After serving as a community columnist for the local newspaper for 2 years, she's now the copywriter for a university's business alumni publication. Her work has also appeared in Romantic Homes, Flea Market Decor, Tennessee Home and Farm, Tourist Attractions and Parks, and Souvenirs, Gifts, and Novelties. Well, that's an interesting range. Jessica lives in Falltown, Tennessee with her husband Paul and their large collection of books. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You, anytime. tell us about, we're going to start right in here because I'm running slightly late.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about your freelance journey prior to joining the Den.
Well, I grew up as a reader and writer and just had always wanted to be a writer. I'm one of those, you know, creative writer types, but I hadn't pictured freelancing until late 2011. I had a friend, a neighbor who is a professional freelancer and works from home, and I thought, what a great life, you know. And so I started asking her questions and picking her brain about how she got started, and eventually she led me to connecting me with the local newspaper editor, the community editor. So, and then a columnist position became open in January 2012, and I became a community columnist for the city's newspaper, which I did for 2 years. So I was kind of doing that maybe for 8 months or so before I found out about the Den and got in.
And so tell us, how big is this newspaper, and were you a journalist before or just an English teacher?
No, I was not a journalist. I didn't study journalism or anything, but I was an English major. It's the only newspaper here in the city, so it's pretty big. It's the Knoxville News Sentinel. So, yeah, it's fairly well known in this area. I don't know exactly the readership, but it's pretty good,
right,
for like local clips as far as having those clips to show to people who know this area. They're like, oh, you write for the News Sentinel, so.
Right. I think a lot of people think that if you don't have a journalism degree, you can't write for a newspaper.
Yes, for sure. Especially for a newspaper. And I thought that too, you know, and I needed this. And so many people along my journey have been instrumental in telling me, no, you can do this. You know, I'm like, I can't do this. I don't have the degree for it or something. But she said, no, you can do this. And so I just, you know, dove in and learned as I went, and the editor was helpful. And, just having to do that every week was great training ground for me as far as finding stories and finding people to interview and interview skills and all of that. And just, it was a great training ground. So I'm glad I did it.
Right. And so tell us about how you found the Den and kind of what you were trying to do in that next step of your career.
Sure. Well, I found the Den, I'm not even sure. I think I found Carol's blog through one of my endless web searches for freelance writing or freelance writing jobs. And I had found lots and lots of writing jobs that were very low paying. As we all know, there's so many out there. And so when I started reading Carol's blog and Linda's blog, I was like, oh, they're talking about, you know, making a real living here. And so I began to explore what, you know, just their ideas. And really I got into the Den by joining the 4-week J school. So that was once I was already writing for the newspaper, and I was like, this sounds like a great chance for me to learn more about journalism, since I'm just kind of doing it and felt like I was making some mistakes but learning from them and everything. So it really helped me in my newspaper writing, which is kind of the goal that I started that course for, but then it also opened my eyes to many other opportunities and just was good training for me and made me think, there's there's a lot of opportunities beyond this, and the newspaper did not pay very well, like most of them don't at this point. So I just started kind of looking around, so where can I go from here? And that was very, the Den was very instrumental in that. And I think I joined the Den or did the J School. It was like fall of 2012, I think. So I've been in a couple of years.
And so tell us about joining the alumni magazine. And is it your local university?
Yes. Yeah, it's also local. I have a local friend who works full-time at an advertising agency here in Knoxville, and someone referred her for the gig of writing. Basically, they hire a copywriter to do the entire magazine, aside from just departmental news, little blips. They have, you know, it's like 11 feature articles ranging from 350 words to the cover story, which is like 2,500 words. So someone had referred her, and she saw the scope of it, and she was like, oh, I don't have time for this. So she passed it on to me. And gave them my contact info. So I was proactive and got in touch with the communications director because she had passed on another local writer's information as well. So I wanted to kind of jump on it. And we connected, and she wanted to meet with me in person since I'm local. And we had a really good meeting. And I was rather intimidated, honestly, when this was last October, when I heard just the scope of the project and how quickly, basically, they want you to hear about all of these features, like the 11 features, and interview everyone, which they do set up the interviews for me, but still do all these interviews and then write all the stories and have it all done within about 6 weeks. And I was like, oh, it sounded really overwhelming. But I came into the Den and, you know, told the whole story and, like, what should I do? And just really Carol and Linda and others encouraged me to go for it. You know, it's a good pay. It's good. It's, you know, you can do this. So I just said yes, and I was very glad. Like, I had a great experience with the first issue. It came out in May, and I'm on for the next issue here in a few weeks. So it's a good choice.
So you're still working part-time teaching? Obviously, maybe have the summer off.
Yeah, actually, we just started back today. I had meetings today. Oh. Yeah. I teach homeschool kids, so I just work one day a week. So I have a couple of high school classes and one middle school class. So it's nice because it gives me a good balance. I have plenty of time for my freelancing, but I still get some people interaction. I love the interaction with the students and keeps me from being working at home all the time. So it's good.
And then tell us a little bit about the university, kind of how big is it, kind of, and what department did you say you were in the
right
part of the business college?
Yes, it is. It's the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, so it's our big state school here, and it's the College of Business Administration. And really, I kind of had doubted my ability going in, like, I don't know, what do I know about business? You know, I don't have a background. I was an English major. You know, and I did creative writing and stuff. So, and then I had just had a couple years of journalism with a newspaper, but that was still just like community news stories. So I didn't think, you know, what do I know about this? But, you know, what the heck, give it a try and see what they think of my writing samples. But how it turned out was the editor, she really told me, oh, I don't need somebody who knows business. I want a storyteller who can take business topics that might seem dull and write them as creative nonfiction. So when she showed me what she was wanting, I was like, oh, I can do that, you know, as long as you don't expect me to understand the ins and outs of all this. So she really wanted someone who was coming from a different perspective, and she was very pleased with my work. So it just worked out really well. It's just something that I would never have guessed would be a good fit for me, but is, you know, so.
Right. So is when you hooked up with the editor, is she actually the director of communications for the entire college or just the business college? I'm kind of curious.
Just for the business college, yes, for the College of Business Administration. And actually what happened was she was doing the magazine. It comes out twice a year, and she's also a lecturer. So what they did this year, though, was the college hired a PR person to be over to edit the magazine and do all of their publications. So I'm going to have a new editor starting with this next issue. So there's kind of a transition going on even while I was doing the first issue. So that's how they do it.
But she loved working with you, right? So she's kind of handed you off to someone else as well?
She did, yes. And I know this new editor, too, and like her. So, and the cool thing is that my original editor, Cindy, who was the director of communications, and now she's moving into a different position, she's already talked to me about doing some other work for her on down the road, just like e-newsletters for the department, which she'll be doing this fall. So that may have multiplied into more work for me, which would be awesome.
And then tell everybody how much you're getting per issue. And so you said you're writing 11 or 12 short pieces, or is there one or two long ones and a lot of short ones?
Yeah, it's basically one 2,500-word cover story, and then two features, which are between 1,000, well, like 12 to 1,500 words, I think. And then the rest of them are shorter. So there's a total of 11, three long ones, and then 8 shorter ones. And the total that I'm getting paid per issue is about $5,000. So, yeah, that's pretty much the – and I kept a log of my time this issue because I wanted to see what kind of hourly rate I was going to get out of this. And I was very pleasantly surprised and shocked because I never thought I would make this much money per hour, but it was $85 an hour. And, you know, having listened to Carol and Linda and you know, just thinking that may be possible, but it was a big jump for me to think it's possible for me. So this has been a big step as far as moving up and realizing that it's possible to make really good money doing this.
Sure. Did she say, you know, I'd like to hire you to do the whole thing for one set fee, or did she say, I'll pay this for that, so on and so forth?
Yeah, it's for the whole issue. Yeah, they pay per issue. It's basically their budget. I think they have a set budget, and so they have this much that they pay the copywriter and this much that they pay the designer for each issue. So they did play around with, like, when the new editor was kind of on her way in with this first issue, she wanted some of the articles to be longer, so, you know, the word count got extended a little bit on a few, not by too much, but it was kind of flexible, but it wasn't like I was getting paid per word. It was just, this is what we have to pay you for the whole project. We can't increase. She kept saying, like, unfortunately, you know, we can't, if you have to work overtime or whatever, we don't have any extra funds for that, because it's funded by the Alumni Association, I think. So they just, you know, have a set budget.
Interesting to know. And you said you also landed some work with a trade journal editor?
Yes, and that one was just, that was not a referral. It was just, I would totally credit the Den and learning how to write a good letter of introduction for that. I just wrote to this editor at Kane Communications, which does the tourist attractions and parks and souvenirs, gifts, and novelties. I think sometime last year, probably around this time last year, and you know, introduced myself. I think she asked for samples, and I sent her some, and then I never heard from her. And then in January, I sent out a bunch of emails to editors that I'd heard back from at least once that sounded positive, and just kind of checking in again, which I found to be very helpful. It's like that you don't want to cross the threshold where you're being annoying, but at the same time, editors are very busy, and sometimes just to say, hey, you know, how are you, and just checking in, is enough to, you know, spark them to give you an assignment or just remember that you're there. So that's what I did in January with her, and she pretty much immediately gave me an assignment. And then really steadily almost since then, she's given me almost probably at least 12 articles that I've done for her, and they pay $300 apiece, and they're pretty straightforward. So, yeah, it was very good. It's been a good client that's just been a repeat client for me.
That's always great. Repeat clients. We love those.
Yes, yes.
I'm not seeing any questions from our guests in the Den, so I think I'll just wrap it up for now. I'd like to thank all our guests for taking the time to share their successes, which were very inspiring. Coming up on August 21st, Linda will be back to host an Ask the Editor section with Linnea Floyd, a family circle, and Camille Chatterjee, I hope I'm saying that correctly, at Health. Thanks for attending, everyone. And if you've picked up anything, obviously at least one of our guests today has landed a lot of business by listening to these Ask the Editor sessions. So if you're interested in women's publications and health publications, tune in on the 21st. Thanks, everyone.